Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Night Court. I am Rob Fisher. Brevin Knight is alongside. Hello, BK. How are you?
I'm great, Roberto. It's enjoying a beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon.
Maybe the day of the year of 2024 thus far.
Man, it is absolutely perfect. Yeah. And it's nice to be back outside and not having to huddle up while being outside.
Absolutely. So it's nice. It's beautiful here in Memphis today. We thank you for joining the program. You can follow us on Twitter. The show is at Night Court 22. Brevin is at Brevin Knight 22. And I am at The Fish Nation.
No 22.
No. I liked that we were talking about on the three-pointer on Grizzlies Live pregame. Our three-pointer was favorite players with initials, with SGA and JJ and GG and all the initial guys that were in the game last night. And we had our favorites. I went with AI, you went with MJ, and Pete went with Dr. J. And then we said BK as well, of course, BK. And then you said, or I said we won't use the other two. And you said because we didn't want children laughing.
Well, it was
because of pee-pee.
It was. I could just see someone just at home just giggling inside for us to be like, yeah, it's so pee-pee.
You made a pee-pee joke. Twice. You came back to it later in the show, too.
It was, and the thing is, once we got ready to start the game, people's like, man, they couldn't think of another name for me that wouldn't have had those initials. So something tells me that there were some kids that had fun with that already when Petey was younger.
That was fun. We're trying to keep it fun on Grizzlies Live.
Yes.
It's hard. It's hard. It's harder. It's, you know, everybody asks, oh, how hard is it? It's hard, but we've gone through it before. And I think this year has been a little different than the years past. Because years past, you're kind of playing out the string with guys who aren't going to be a part of the organization. This year, we're playing out the string with guys that we kind of have found and looking to see if there's another one in there.
Well, and the thing about it is that's exactly, you know, what you would want to have in a adverse situation. Is there some silver lining to the situation? And I think the silver lining has been, we talk about it, Vince Williams Jr., what it looks like he'll be able to do as in the rotation. The upside of GG Jackson and what his growth can be and what type of player he can look like as the years continue to go on. And then some other guys who have shown promise with this team. But you always, as I say, as you're getting ready for what draft position you may have, what players that will be available as free agents that you may be able to go after, you still would like to see what do you already have that's homegrown. And the good thing for this team is they have a couple pieces already in-house that can help next year.
Yeah, and I think the other silver lining, if you want to look for another one, is that they play hard on most nights. And that was very evident on the recent road trip, a two-game trip to Philadelphia and Brooklyn, where they got two wins. And those nights are fun. Those nights are a lot of fun. Wins are still fun. As I asked Jaren, you know, how, you know, to win with this group, you know, is it more satisfying? And he goes, win's a win, man. Wins are always great. And he's right. Wins are fun.
You would like to have more wins than if you can get more wins. But heck yeah, winning is fun. It's, you know, when the Grizzlies ended do we have a 7-game losing streak?
Was it six, seven?
Six games. One of those was just our latest, that losing streak of six. I think it was six or seven. And they were able to walk away.
Oh, gosh. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9.
Nine?
And then we followed that up with a 5. There's been a lot of losing, man.
Unfortunately. But to get a win after that, you know how we feel just going back to the hotel or going to get on a plane. It's an entirely different feeling for one win. And that's the thing that, as a coach, you try to harp on to your players is embrace, see this feeling? Like, do what it takes to have this feeling on a regular basis, because not everybody does it.
And there haven't been a lot of duds. You know, you had one against Portland. You had one
Brooklyn.
I don't even know if I would call the Oklahoma City game a dud, they're just really, really good. And to me, I think everyone in the gym, whether it was fans, whether it was media, whether it was the Grizzlies, or whether it was Oklahoma City, knew this probably wasn't going to go well for the Grizzlies. And the only team that did something about it was Oklahoma City. And they took care of business against the Grizz.
As we like to say, professional wins?
Professional win.
This was as professional of wins that you could have. And they were great. And what you like to do is you want to not give teams that can't match up because of, for whatever reason, you don't want to give them the confidence. Because if you give NBA players confidence and they can play together, it's hard to turn off the momentum. Mm-hmm. And it's hard then for you to try to gain it late. Now, you may be able to stick around and then win in the end, but it makes you play a lot harder and more than you wanted to. I mean, they had a chance to sit their regulars after the third quarter.
Yeah.
And that was because of what they did in the first, second quarter.
That's always what you want, an ice bag game.
Yeah, some game where your players can go sit down and you feel extremely comfortable with them sitting. Not the feeling like, oh, did I take them out too early? They were in total control from the outset of the tip. I think we may have won the tip.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it was all Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And they got a good player. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is good. But they got a bunch of good, like, they have guys that you like to have on your team that you can say he could go big tonight.
Right.
I think they got a lot of those on their team, and that goes into their bench. And so that'll help them, but the one thing we talked about during the telecast was they still got to get size. They got to figure out, and they have some size guys on the bench, but can those guys go out and be productive for you? It's the only question mark that I have for them in terms of moving through the playoffs.
What about the question of not being there before?
It's a reality because you have to get acclimated to every game being a major television game no matter what. And I'm always saying in these instances, it's not your star guy you're worrying about. It's can your role guys continue to fulfill their roles
right
on that stage. And I think that that definitely will play a part because you would like to have some type of experience to what it takes. They don't have the what it takes feeling at this moment, but they can beat anybody on any given night. And so is there a worry? Yeah, there's somewhat of a worry. But the talent that they have across the board and how dedicated they are to playing defense as well as offense, it still gives them a chance to win a series.
One of the big news stories of the week in the NBA was Karl-Anthony Towns, his injury with Minnesota. How much does that hurt Minnesota?
I think it hurts them a lot because even though Naz Reid has played extremely well, and that means, though, that you have moved someone else. Someone else on your bench has to move up and mm-hmm. play more minutes. So just in terms of rotation, it hurts. But it also hurts because I thought Cat had done a really good job of accepting his role on the basketball team. And in accepting his role, he has been a more efficient player. And it's not just standing out shooting the threes. It's not wanting the ball or wanting to get a certain amount of shots. He's just playing within the offense. And when Anthony Edwards is not on the floor, you can have Karl-Anthony Towns on the floor, and it gives you a number one option.
Yeah.
Now with Anthony Edwards goes off of the floor, it has to be team basketball. They don't have a true number one option.
But they play pretty good as a team.
Oh, yeah. No, this doesn't mean that they can't win. It's just that the loss of Karl-Anthony Towns, it will have an effect on them as they move forward.
The Lakers are 9 and Golden State 10, or flip-flop. They're 9 and 10, those two teams. Do you believe they can do anything? Because I don't.
I can't put anything past LeBron James or Steph Curry. That is what I say. And then that little bit of the factor of the teams that are at the top that they will play outside of Denver, neither has been there before in terms of Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
Right.
So I said there's a small factor in that happening. So I honestly want to be like, oh, those teams are done. But then you just see how
every time I watch them, I try to see that they're not done, and they just are.
Yeah, but they've gone through a stretch where they played well. And moving Clay to the bench has been fantastic.
Because it's just that? He's taken off.
The other thing is, now it allows Kuminga to play a little bit more freely, and he deserves that opportunity. And it also allows him to play with a guy who knows how to play the game in Draymond Green for longer stretches. For Clay, what I think freed him up was, he can be more of a go-to focal point coming off the bench in some way. And he's also then sometimes playing against second defenders.
Right.
On guys that have to come off the bench, or he doesn't have to deal with a main defender. So I think I just can't count them out. And for all of what I just don't see in Anthony Davis as being like a mega star, he's played well. Man, he's put up numbers, and if he can do that in the playoffs, we'll see. And then getting Spencer Dinwiddie, I thought was big for them.
Yeah,
it gave him a little bit of insurance if D'Angelo Russell kind of goes off the reservation somewhat.
I think it's going to be fun. I think the West is going to be a lot of fun to watch in the postseason, from the play-in on in. You got the Lakers and Golden State playing each other in the play-in game. I mean, that's must-watch,
that
right?
That would be fantastic.
All right, I got away from the Grizzlies for a little bit. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about Vince. We've talked about Gigi. Gigi had a career high in the game in Oklahoma City. Congratulations to him.
Yes.
That's awesome. I love seeing him do well. I loved watching the last 7 minutes of the game when he was the veteran on the floor. There were three two-way guys and Jake. And, Gigi's had more experience than Jake for how little it is. So he was kind of the leader on the floor, and I thought that was kind of neat to see. And he was very vocal. I just like what I see from him.
Oh, yeah. It's like I said, man, he said what was his height? Where could he go? And I said, I don't put anything on it.
Yeah.
I see a lot of potential with him. Now, he still has some work to do on the finer aspects of the game and how you can really manipulate and expose and do things better. But that still comes with a level of growth and learning. Yeah. He just has to learn it. And the good thing is, at least he's getting it to be able to learn it in NBA situations. Like, it's not just the last 5 minutes, you're down by 20, he goes in the game, and he's able to put up 10, 12 points. I don't know what the other team is done playing. So it's nice to see him get into the game early in games where you're still playing against teams who are playing their regulars and you having to figure out what to do while being a part of the scouting report.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of who else over the last couple. Jake LaRavia has stood out. He's played well. Good for him. He's getting an opportunity and he's playing well. I don't know what this means for the long term of Jake LaRavia. I don't think he's answered anything, but he's playing well. He's seizing an opportunity right now because he's got the opportunity.
And he's healthy. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. I think a lot was, you really couldn't tell or know what he was going to be at this level. I take the G League and the NBA as two separate entities of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always say a lot of times guys go down and they get a lot of points and people are like, well, he's scoring this much. He's doing, I'm like, yeah, but when he comes to the league, number one, he's not going to play that many minutes. He's not going to get that many shots.
Right.
So what other things is he doing to help your team be able to get a win in a role that he's really going to play? And I think what we're getting with Jake is you're starting to at least see more drives to the basket, more creation of that way. The rebounding has been better, a level of physicality. And with his size, it's all something that the team needs.
Yeah.
So the best thing for, I always tell guys that are trying to figure out and navigate, is number one, don't be one-dimensional. Be willing to do whatever it takes to get on the floor. And then those other skills that you have, they're able to be seen. But if you're not on the floor because you are resistant or you think that, well, I'm doing it this way, figure out what they're asking of you to do, and then from there, do that, and then the being able to do more comes after that.
We have a guy on the team named Deke Giroux.
Deke, and he was...
And how about his debut?
He was fantastic.
That was... He was.
He was. He. I mean, and the thing was, it was something that we hadn't seen, we haven't really seen much of, which is a guard to be able to beat someone off the dribble one-on-one and make a play for somebody else. I would say go back and watch our games this year. The biggest thing missing is the ability to drive, someone step up, I drop it off, you get a layup or a dunk. Mm-hmm. It's because we haven't had enough individual creators or people that handle the ball to be able to have those type shot opportunities. I say for Jaren, if you want somebody to get into a real rhythm, give them open shots. Like get them easy baskets. The baskets have become hard to come by, and it was nice to see him mixing it up, getting in there, dropping it off, guys getting dunks, layups, fouls. It was nice. There was a spirit to him. The same way I talk about when Gigi gets on the floor, it's like he's just gliding as he played. Yeah. This was something very similar. We said it on the air, like it was like Will Barton, stop and go game, right. Long, lanky, defensive side, the way to move, top the feet, keep it. Like it was fun. It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. He wears number 77. How about that? Number 77.
Did he say why?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't see him after the game. So I didn't ask. I don't know. You want me to find that out?
Yeah, I think that is something. It's something
we need to know.
Of significance.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's got to be. Yeah. I like it though. I like 77.
I would just like maybe there isn't.
Yeah.
But if there is, I would definitely like to.
Here's my guess. He wants to wear 7. But 7 was taken. That's going to be my guess. So he went 77.
Okay.
That's my guess. I don't know. Or they could have just said, hey, we got 77. Is that cool? How'd you start wearing 22 and why?
22, I thought I saw him in a uniform and it was 12. And I was like, well, I'm second to him, so I'll just go 22.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, once you start wearing it, then it's just like, you need it.
Yeah.
It's just security blanket when you go out there on the floor.
Yeah.
And so, that was, no, I wish I had a better story, like it was something grand, but no, I just wanted to follow in Pop's footsteps and Be good in our city, our area, and then see where it took me.
I wore 22 as well.
And what was yours?
My reason was I was a huge fan of Will Clark, and he wore 22. And I always thought the best players wore 22. Well, maybe not the best players, but if you wore 22, you were a really good player.
You had, it's like there's something. There's still something there about
it. Yes, yes. So I always wore it. It sucked in college. I had to wear 8 because the best player on our team wore 22. And he was a senior and I was a freshman. So,
well, I came into the league.
Here, 8's available. I was like, all right.
I came into the league and I had to go. I went to 12
mm-hmm.
because Larry Nance.
Ah.
His number was retired.
Yeah.
And I did the old, hey, Larry, you want to bring let it come down and let me use it? He was like, no.
No.
And I love Larry Nance. I think the only one is Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah.
If he would wear it.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. But that was the only time you wore 12?
I wore 12, yep. And then after that, I went to Milwaukee. Let's see, I was 22 here.
Yeah.
I went to Milwaukee, and I was number 6. I just went half of him.
Okay.
Half of that. And then, or I did 6 because it was my 16. Cleveland, Atlanta.
Memphis,
Phoenix, Washington. That's where I did it. Milwaukee.
Was your 16?
My 16.
Okay.
So I was 6 there for that little stretch of time. Then went to Charlotte. There's nobody. I can pick my own number there.
Yeah.
So I was 22 there. I was 22 with the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And I could only be two. I wonder who was at 22 when I went to Utah. I was two in Utah.
Yeah.
So that was my jersey numbers.
All right.
22 through high school, middle school, college.
Yeah, I was eight in college. Just.
Why eight? Did that mean anything?
It was available.
I'm on the team.
It was like eight or like 26, and I was like, yeah, 26. That's not. So I went single digit. Yeah. All right. Well, that's fun. That was a fun little story.
Fun little trip down memory lane there. Just throw that in the middle of it.
Okay. Also, there was a when the Grizzlies played Portland. This happened, which was really cool. Grizzlies played Portland two times, and after the first game, apparently, Brevin and Chauncey Billups had some words or something.
Yeah, we were down 30, and he just kept subbing. Mom was like, just sub them all at one time. We just stop this intermittent subbing. And he's like, well, I gotta let everybody play. So then some other words were exchanged.
Yeah,
that shouldn't be said.
So the next night,
but all in fun.
All in fun. The next night, this was Chauncey's pregame media availability. Drew Hill asking the question. All right, here we go. Hold on.
I saw you and Brevin get a moment after the game yesterday. Do you think Brevin talked on the court as much during y'all's playing days as he does on TV now, or?
Brevin definitely talked on the court as much as he does on the broadcast. What I will say is his language was probably a little different. You know, he had a potty mouth, man, on that court. And I tell you, I love playing against Brevin, man. He was such a leader. I've seen him, like, really get after his teammates, you know, for missing coverages or missing plays or taking two or three plays off. So it's no coincidence that he's as good as he is on TV, because he always thought the game at a very high level. So yeah, definitely. He was definitely a talker, though. Don't let him lie to you, man.
Wow, potty mouth. Call the potty mouth. What'd you do to Chauncey, man?
You heard what he said. He heard me talking to others, not to him. I didn't do. I didn't do him like Gary Payton did me. So it was never. I don't think it was not too many times to my opponent. It may just. Sometimes you have to get your point across. And I think it was, a lot of it is just kind of how I came up. It's kind of how I heard the game being played. And so, but it was never to demean anybody. I may have just used it in the sentence.
Sure.
Because I know all too well, I was not perfect either.
Yeah. Oh, that was great stuff from Chauncey. I don't know why I'm just telling stories today, but
because the Grizzlies haven't done well.
Yeah, it just, you know, what it is what it is. We played the Atlanta Hawks, got to chat with Dominique Wilkins, and
yes.
He is one of my favorites of all time. Arguably my favorite player of all time. And so he always wants to see my shoes, which I think is cool.
Yes.
Because it's Dominique Wilkins, and then we'll sit there and chat. And I'll be honest, he's a talker, but it's amazing. He tells stories that you're like, dude, this is Dominique Wilkins telling me about this time he and Larry Bird, something happened in a game, and he's like, and I stuffed it in his face, and I'm like, Jesus. I mean, if I'm hearing this from somebody else, I'd be like, yeah, okay, good story. But it's Dominique Wilkins telling this story. And it just has me in awe just sitting and listening to him tell stories. I love Neek.
Yeah, listen, he is fantastic, because for those moments, we get to talk about how the game was. And so I enjoy it. It's because, you know, nowadays you can't – if you bring it up, then you're trying to compare it to – what y'all did or what they did. Not really, just kind of telling you what it was, yeah. What it is.
And I had even told him, I said, we had eight guys on our injured list with soreness. And he looked at me and goes, man!
Well, I told you how many. I told you in today's game how many people play with a brace of some sort on.
Oh yeah.
Not the fashion statement sleeves and all. I'm talking about like a ankles, real, like a braces. Or a knee brace, mm-hmm. or fingers taped, and go, like none of that. It just doesn't. It doesn't happen anymore.
No, it is pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing. And talking to him about that was rather amazing. He said he had 9 ankle sprains and missed no games. Dominique Wilkins. One of the greatest of all time.
Listen, Neek can tell us some stuff. That's the cool thing. It's like, this isn't, we ain't got to try to get it second. Like, we getting it firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's from Dominique Wilkins.
That's why we get the stint now. Is there any embellishment to any of the stories? I don't know. But like you said, it's Dominique. So we sit there.
Love it. Love him. Oh, one of the best. One of the best. All right, what else? The college basketball. We got the tournament. The conference tournaments are coming up.
Yes.
Farewell to the Pac-12 tournament is coming up.
Still can't believe that.
I think Arizona's the best team, right?
Well, it'll be a neutral court. Arizona is a very good at-home team.
Yeah.
And I tried to tell you that on last. I know you did. Tried to tell you when they played USC just last, their last game. That don't get too high on it,
and
because of what they do. But I mean, if they're playing their best basketball, then they're the best team in the Pac-12.
Memphis Tigers, good luck. They got to win 4 straight. It's not likely. Are they capable? Sure. Is it likely? No.
It kind of just all comes down to if they want it or not. Do they want to win 4 straight? Because, like you said, you look at the team and the talent and what they're capable of doing, they can do it.
Yeah.
I think the fact of the matter is, how much do you want to do it?
Right. On the women's side.
Yes.
We had a little dust up with South Carolina LSU. LSU gave them a great game. South Carolina stays undefeated. They stay undefeated after hitting the last second shot against Tennessee.
Which, again, I don't understand.
Garter!
The defense, like, why are you guarding the paint? Like, the paint can't score. But that person, I don't care if they shooting 1%, they never shot it. So if they're on the floor and the end of the game situation, you guard everybody. Mm. Unless they're shooting some half, three-quarter, quiet. I'm talking about realistic shot.
Right.
The girl that was defending her never was close to her. Like, it wasn't as if you went up, and then it was like, oh, back up, watch out.
No, there was no attempt even on a closeout. I mean, never.
Like, she just
the shot got up. There was still no.
Right. She just stood at the. You just stood at the rim, as if they're gonna throw a lob and somebody gonna jump over the top and dunk it.
Right.
That's exactly
what they were doing. Yes.
But that's unreal. That's not gonna happen. So just move up and guard the person that you. At least be at the free throw line so when they catch it, at least I jump. And
yeah. So the girl makes the shot then in the LSU game. She's the one that decks the girl.
Yeah, she.
And mayhem ensued. And Kim Mulkey's the best. After the game says, I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that's fantastic. So this is great. And LSU had it. I mean, they played them really well. South Carolina just beat them. So this is how the women's bracket has to set up. Has to set up. On the left side of the bracket, we have South Carolina as the one seed. And on the right side of the bracket, top side, we have LSU. Bottom side, we have Iowa. Ooh-wee. Hoping that when you get to the Final Four, Iowa plays LSU. And the winner plays South Carolina. Because if you've got Caitlin against South Carolina, great. If you have LSU South Carolina, great. I got it all figured out, dude.
Boy, listen, it seems like that should easily.
Has to.
And I, you know what? I always hate when we do this. And I don't know if they do it by seeding or even at tennis tournaments. When you see, like, the two of the better players are already playing each other before the final.
Right.
Like to me, somehow you got to mix that up better so that I'm not watching the quarterfinals of two people we thought were going to win.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to just bet on the person that just got hot to all of a sudden now they can continue to go. I want the people that have been the match, the people that have been there all year. Now, if they get blown, if they get upset, or, then that's on them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when we all we got to push all of the chips into the middle, I want those teams to be in those quadrants.
Yeah.
In that fashion.
Absolutely.
I would love to see Caitlin play anybody. I want to see her play in person.
I mean, would too.
That's stupid what she's doing.
It is.
I mean, the amount of points and then what she has done along with Angel Reese and in terms of what they've done for women's basketball in terms of viewership has totally changed. South Carolina as a team, what Dawn Staley has been able to do with their team has been, I mean, it's been amazing. For when, and then Juju Watkins at USC, she's good as hell.
Mm-hmm. How many when you were at Stanford, they were really good, right?
Hell yeah, it was. That was their heyday,
wasn't it?
Yes, that was. They were basketball at Stanford University. We, the men's basketball, usually the men's team, what time you want the court is based on what you want to do.
Right.
Oh, we would be like, so Tara, is it okay for us to use the gym now?
Yeah.
She'd be like, yeah. I was like, in all respect, do. But it was one of the things I was like, we're going to change this. We don't have to change the dynamic, but at least we're going to get on equal footing with how these teams are seen.
Were you at Stanford when Kristen Fokel was there?
Yes.
I know Kristen Fokel.
Shut up.
She's from St. Louis, and when I first started working in the media, she was huge in high school in St. Louis, and I had her on the air all the time, and she's a sweetheart. Love Kristen Fokel.
She was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was good as hell.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like that. It's when forward, like she did it all as a forward.
She was shot, awesome. I mean, she was before her time.
Yes. Handle it, shot it from the perimeter, would post you up, did it all.
Yeah. Yeah. She would have been, I mean, today, she could have been a big deal. Kristen Fokel, Memory Lane. How about this? That's what we'll call this show, Memory Lane.
That's a good one. Old trip down memory lane.
All right, so there's my take on the women's college basketball. And then we got some NFL I have to ask you about.
Uh-oh.
So your Giants, we're done with the quarterback and we're going to get Russell Wilson? Is this true?
I hope not. Again, at the end of the day, what I'm going to say, I say the same thing for Daniel Jones that I've been saying. He's been the most sacked quarterback, the most rushed quarterback, the most pressured quarterback in the NFL since he's been there. How in the hell can we give a true assessment of where he is? Like let's give him somebody to be behind in terms of I can go from shotgun. I'm not even saying from under center. I don't have to go set height. Oh, shit, here they come. Like, that was literally, that's the type of football he was playing.
Yeah.
Like, let's, to the point where he can at least, like all these other quarterbacks, get 2 to 3 seconds to be able to at least say, something, this can happen.
Yeah.
And maybe you might even give him a 4 second present. Maybe you get one, but the fucking 1 second set hut, oh, we got to run for your life. And so to say, Russell Wilson has a lot to, I think has a lot to prove. I'm not, nothing against him, but. I'm not willing to just all of a sudden say whatever for Russell Wilson.
Ugh, Russell Wilson. Ugh. Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta with a monster contract.
Big money.
Wow. So he'll be the starting quarterback there, and they're the best team in that division, which is crazy.
Well, you only had to be one game over 500.
Right.
Or right at 500 to be the team.
And then Justin Fields. What's going to happen? The Bears going to go with Justin Fields and get his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years, or are they going to give up and draft Caleb Williams?
So I was listening to someone who was saying, I think it's Booger McFarland, who was saying, here's his only reason for why they should trade and to get Caleb Williams. There's a consensus. This is almost like the Zion Williamson thing. There's a consensus that you're the number one pick and you're going to be a really good NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that. Now, will it happen or not, you don't know. But that's what everybody thinks. So if you take him and you go through it and it doesn't work, a little bit of onus can be on, oh, he wasn't good. Maybe he was a bust. He didn't work out. The thing with Fields, and you get to at least get him for 3 or 4 years, however many years they sign. I don't know how they do NFL rookie contract. But you have him under a rookie scale for at least 4 years.
Yeah.
Fields, you're eventually going to have to sign to either going to sign him to a big deal and you're just going to have to push all your chips in with him, or you got to move on. And so you see what I'm saying? And if he doesn't work out, now you've given all of this money, it didn't work out, and Caleb Williams goes somewhere else, and now here he comes to be a star. So I think one side, you have a win-win, no matter what, on a trade. And then on this other side, I can have a win-lose, win-big loss if we keep him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a long-winded explanation, but.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. The whole – because even if he shows, if you keep him and he shows a little progress this year, and then you got to pay him, that's a big commitment.
It is.
To a guy that still isn't there. Because I can't imagine all of a sudden he's going to be a star this year. That's not going to happen.
Right. I think at least they found a way to play with him, and hopefully with this new coordinator, they're thinking they can continue with moving him around more.
Yeah.
That he can win at the clip, a better clip than kind of what you saw the last 4 or 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Of the season, so that's what I think that you're thinking is, you know, you can become a real playoff contender, but it'll be a bigger risk.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's gonna do it, man. Unless you got anything.
I got nothing.
Nothing else.
That.
Okay.
I mean, people are trying. At this point, they're trying to figure out how much longer they're gonna go.
Who? Us?
The people that's listening.
Yeah, I know. So we'll wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week. Hopefully have some wins to talk about, maybe. We got Washington coming up.
We got Washington.
And then Charlotte.
Charlotte. You got some opportunities if you go out and play. The only thing is at home. For whatever reason, being at home has not been good.
No, it hasn't been. But maybe this week. Maybe this week. With the weather being so beautiful as it is. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brevin, of course, is on Twitter at BrevinKnight22. I am on Twitter as well at The Fish Nation. And the show, you can reach the show at KnightCourt22. We thank you for listening. We'll do it again next week. For BK, I'm Fish. This has been Night Court. Talk to you next week.
Peace.